Against all odds, I listen to my inner awareness and follow its calling. This is Dr. Herbert L. Wiley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Against all odds, I listen to my inner awareness and follow its calling. R.H. Macy failed 7 times before his New York store finally caught on. 7 times he tried to make a store, tried to build a store, and 7 times it's failed. Now, do you know the name Macy?
Yes.
I mean, you know, he's doing quite well. I don't know, maybe he's still around even, but he's doing quite well. And so are these other things. We oftentimes think, well, I failed. Everything is over. Everything is lost because I failed. And if that were the case, we'd never have a President Lincoln, would we? He failed as many times as you can imagine. In fact, he failed in doing the thing he wanted to do, just like Macy here. He failed in having stores. But he didn't lack belief in himself. He just realized, well, try it again. Try it again. And the people also believed in him because he had to get backing to have money to buy a product, to have a store. And then when you get backing to have money to buy a product, to have a store, it's not always a top-grade product. So what was it that finally sold Macy on his store? Himself. What was it who finally sold Lincoln on his ability as a political man? Himself. Because he came from nothing. He lost every senatorial battle that he ran. Why he continued is a good guess, but he was a lawyer, and so he just thought, well, that's interesting. I get out and talk to people. He wanted to get out and talk to people. And finally, he made it to be the president, right to the top. Now, there's no reason why we, in doing whatever we want to do, cannot achieve it. I have dealt with hundreds of people, thousands of people, and in the people that I have dealt with, the hardest thing for any of them to accept is that they can become spiritually illumined. They say, oh yes, I can be healed, I can have this, I can have that, but to be spiritually illumined, you know? And I tell them, you'll never make it. You'll never make being spiritually illumined as long as you think that you can't be spiritually illumined, because you have shut the door on spiritual illumination. Well, what is spiritual illumination? I don't care. Whatever you call it, that's what it is for you. If spiritual illumination is an inner knowingness, that's nice. If spiritual illumination is knowing the right thing to do at any time, that's good, you know. If spiritual illumination is feeling a sense of bliss, a sense of peace, a sense of relaxation at any time, that's kind of nice too, isn't it? You know, that's kind of nice. When you start realizing that the real values in life are not having successful apartment stores like Mr. Macy, which is okay too. But you see, Mr. Macy did not create a department store to create a department store. Mr. Macy created a department store because in him was the desire to do this thing. This thing might have been president like Lincoln. It might have been anything else, but it was just to do his thing. Now, have you figured out what your thing is? And have you prepared yourself to do your thing? Now, would you like to be a great speaker? Would you like to have a great church? Would you like to have a great school? Would you like to have a great person in your life that you feel very comfortable with, that gives you a lot of happiness and satisfaction without possession, you know, untouchable, one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental? What is in your mind? What would you like? You see, whatever it is that, not that you pursue, but whatever it is that makes you feel really good, When you think about something, if it makes you feel really good, then you can be sure that you're in the right ballpark, that you're walking toward the right goal. Now, Barbara developed a school, and in that school, I know very little about it. Ellen knows all about it. Barbara knows all about it. And in that school, she has young people. Young people who didn't do well in school, apparently, right?
Right.
And she is sort of their mentor, moving them from not doing well, which means not liking yourself, to liking yourself and then doing well.
And excelling, right?
And this, for some, for all.
All of them.
Yeah, for all of them. So, you see, what was the terrible thing that Barbara had to do first? What was the ugly, mean, terrible, just that dastardly thing that she had to do first?
Like herself.
Like herself. Once she liked herself, she could go out and share with the world what it meant to like yourself. Because she didn't expect anything from these students that came to her. She just liked them because she liked herself. And she said, hey, no problem. No problem. There's no problem in what you're doing. There's no problem in your lack of learning, your lack of growth. Hey, what is it you'd like to be? What is it you like to do? Who are you? Are you a good person? Well, I'm not a good person because I don't do good in school. Hey, that has nothing to do with it. That's all past. Are you a good person now? Are you a person that you'd like to be with? Yeah, sure, of course, you know. Are you a person that chooses friends who are just like you are? Well, my mom doesn't appreciate it too much. But do you appreciate it? Do you really respect the people you're associating with? Do you really respect the thoughts that you're having up in your mind? Now, what sort of thoughts are you having in your mind? Are your thoughts of taking advantage or hurting another person, or being loving and kind to yourself and to you all in your world? And so as Barbara lives this, her own life is just boom, 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 just like an atomic bomb, growing grander and greater until it consumes and assumes the whole universe. Not in a negative sense, but in this sense. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. There now is a school that shares with young people this appreciation of themselves, which allows them to open their inner door to reveal what they really are. And I have a place in that. I have a role to play in that. Maybe even own it, you know. I have a role to play in that. And you see, she didn't have some great and wonderful dream like Abraham Lincoln to be president, you know. And she didn't have a great and wonderful dream like Mr. Macy, just to have a little store that's successful. And then, of course, it went from one little store to others. But what is Barbara's dream? What is your dream, Ellen? What is yours, Ingeborg? What's yours, Sylvia? And what's yours, Esther? And what's yours, Rex and Button and Love? What's your dream? Now, really, what is your dream? Do you think that Button's dream is to catch a cat or chase a cat? Maybe chase it, but not catch it. When you catch the cat, what happens? It's over with. And if you kill the cat, then it's really over. But if you catch the cat, then the game is over. And everybody likes the game to continue. So we don't want to catch the cat. We want to have it be like the carrot out in front of the rabbit, or the rabbit out in front of the race, dogs?
Greyhounds.
Greyhounds, yeah. That sort of leads the greyhounds on. Well, and you don't want to catch it, because when you catch it, then everything is over. So what you want to do is you want to know what your dream is, at least in a general direction, and then sort of follow it. Now, we were talking about Barbara. What's Barbara's dream? Barbara's dream is written on the forehead, right across the sheet, right on the front of her forehead there. She puts her hair down over there a little bit. But the dream is written right up there, and it says, Barbara Be yourself and have fun. Isn't that what your dream is? Be yourself and have fun. No matter what you do, it's being yourself and having fun. Is that what yours is too?
Yes.
Yes. And yours?
Yes.
And yours? And yours?
Yes.
Now, what does it mean to be yourself and have fun? For all of us, it is the same but yet different. Do that which is rewarding and fulfilling to ourselves. Now, that's no big deal. That's not going out and robbing banks and things like that. That is doing that which is rewarding and fulfilling to yourself. What's rewarding and fulfilling to you? What's rewarding and fulfilling to you? Now, we're talking a lot about Barbara right now, but Barbara has as much an interest in her family and her children as she does in her school, maybe even more. When Barbara thinks of her family, she has a big old boom, 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 boom. You know, her heart is going and saying, those are my kids. Those are my loves. Those are the people that you know, that are really important to me. They're really important. So the next might be her students, her other children. But who's really important to her? When she is really having fun and being herself, she is being with her children. And temporarily, any grandchildren? Mm-hmm. And she is being with her grandchildren. You know, we all say that about our grandchildren, don't we? But you see, they're special. They're very special. But this is being yourself and having fun. Now, is Barbara's work as director of her school a challenging, demanding, uptighting experience?
No. Mm-hmm.
Why is it not that?
Because she likes it. Because it's
no,
fun.
No. Because she likes herself. She likes herself. We must keep our perspective clear here. It's not that she likes what she does. That's true, she does. But she likes herself. And then everything she does is predicated upon how she likes herself. Barbara's students are a bunch of stupid idiots until they do one thing, like themselves. And the minute they start liking, it's not that they become brilliant overnight, but they like themselves, and then they become brilliant overnight. But the minute you like yourself, you open yourself to do what?
To reveal
the majesty that's within you. You see, I have certain choice words that I give people, and then I go to them to say the choice word. And sometimes, like Akshi and like Ingeborg, they want to ad lib on it. And I said, no, the choice word. I gave a master seminar in Switzerland, and it was a school of the master seminar. And we had a great group there. And one guy was a nice guy, and but he was sort of, you know, laid back, and he was a real estate broker too. He should have been more open, but he sort of just took it in. And I said, okay, now what's your name? And he said, I said, no, what's your name? I said, your name is Peace. Remember? Peace. Whenever I talk to you, your name is Peace. And of course, he was having problems with his family, and he was having problems with his business and so on. And he needed this aspect of peace within himself. So I point to him many times during the seminar. And you? I'm Peace. And so we have another lady in Frankfurt, Karen Hussein, and she was there at the seminar too. And every time I talk to her on the phone, she speaks not perfect English, but okay. She says, I'm Peace. And so she's got this idea that I'm Peace. And I say, go for it. That's wonderful, you know. And it changed her life because the minute she said, I am Peace, the relationship with her son changed.
Yes.
Because her son was a normal little rattlesnake, you know. And he was maybe 30-something, wasn't he? Mm. Probably. And He came to my seminars when he was
eight
years old, and my organizer in Germany wouldn't let him come and said, you have to listen to Dr. Barley's talks before you can come. And so they said, well, can we get some tapes? And so they got a whole bunch of seminars on tape, you know, and listened to him. Mm-hmm. And Grandma listened to him, too. Grandma, Mama, and the son. And they listened, and they listened, and they listened for a solid week, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Or better? A solid week. And then they came to the seminar. And, of course, they were really ready. Mm-hmm. But from that moment on, we were a bond. And so he called me Dad and all that sort of stuff, even though his own father was wherever. And his mother did everything for him, and Grandma did everything for him, and he did not learn responsibility. So then he said, Mama, I want some money, and I need it for buying a car and this and that and the other. Okay. I said, don't do that. I said, make an agreement. You know, is it a gift, or do you want to pay it back? Oh, he's got to pay it back. Well, get it in writing, get it down there. And so she didn't, and he didn't, and years went by. And so, what are you looking at?
It's very low in voice.
Well, that's because it's so far from me. So, is that a little better? No. Yes. And so, she was very unhappy with herself about it. And along came the seminar, which was last year, a year before, last year. And in the seminar, she got this peace idea. And she, I am peace. Even with her Frida, with her mother, who was in her 90s, and still hanging in there, and thinking that I'm the greatest guy in the world, because that's the only one she ever had to listen to that long. And so she started saying, I am peace. And almost within a few days or a week, her son was back in contact. And of course he had a baby, and then he had another baby. And that, you know, helps a little bit. But I am peace. And now he sent me an email the other day, and he says, I have a good job offer now, so I can pay back Mama. And I said, great. But you see, when you're at peace, you can do anything. You can develop the foundation of the Macy's department stores. You can open up a school and be extremely successful. But your success has to be based upon something that's continuing. It can't just be a flash in the pan. Because if it's a flash in the pan, then you're going to have to always be flashing that pan. And that's a lot of work. So if it is just based upon peace and love, if it's just based upon harmony and right action and happiness, we went to Africa and we felt compassion for the people there because they had such unusual circumstances for us to live in. And we didn't judge them as good or bad. We just naturally, whenever you got something that would be nice for people, you want to give it to them. And so we were generous with one of the fellows. And in the process, he said, well, thank you. And of course, he went out and splurged. He went out and did silly things. And it didn't go for what it was supposed to go for. And we, being in our orientation, say, okay, you blew it. Instead of saying, we were stupid to give it to you all at once. We were stupid not to help you ration it out and program yourself to it. Because just like when one of my clients, I have mentioned Mr. Gill of the Gill Electric Battery Company, he sold his business to Teledyne, and he was worth buku billions, you know. And he had a daughter that he raised because his wife died when the daughter was a little girl. And the daughter married a boy, Allstate Insurance, and they lived, and the daughter and the boy lived with a modest income. Papa had billions, you know. And so I said to Mr. Gill, I said, it's about time. Me telling him what to do, you know. It's about time you take your daughter and son-in-law in your business here and train them how to use the money. I said, you're in your 80s now, and you're going to die one day, and they're going to have it all. And they won't know what to do with it. They'll just be overwhelmed with it. They won't have a respect for it. They won't watch it grow, to enjoy its growing, to use it beneficially for anything that they want. People will come along and just rip them off, you know. And they'll be unhappy with people, and it's just because they didn't know how to handle it. And so he brought the son-in-law in the business and the daughter, and it was just a whole new world, a whole new world for him and for them. He may still be around. I haven't talked to him for a number of years. But you see, the blessing that we can be to people is to share with them how to enjoy abundance, how to enjoy abundance and wealth of ideas and concepts in our mind, how to live a happy, fulfilled life from within. And once we do that, all that is without will take care of itself. But if we haven't taught how to live from within and how to live the joy from within, then we haven't done it. Against all odds, I listen to my inner awareness and follow its calling. We say often it's too good to be true. And because we say that, we don't follow it. We just don't believe that it could be true. Now, we have different people coming to work for us here as handymen from time to time. And they're good people, but they make mistakes. And we talk to them about the mistake. And we talk to them not so much about the mistake, but how they can improve. And the people who have come to work for us over the years here have gone away to greater and more wonderful things because they have gained confidence in themselves, because we had confidence in them. One young man, he knew a great deal and was very handy, but by the time he left here, he could do virtually everything. And he was very pleased about that. And then he still comes back and works with us. But this is what life's all about. It's finding your inner light and then enjoying it. And when you find your inner light, your outer world is a reflection of your inner light. And if your inner light is, if you got the rheostat turned up, you know, if you got the volume, the power turned up on your inner light, wow, your outer world is super. Then you say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. And it's so. And you say, I am independently wealthy. Not how. I am independently wealthy. I live in the consciousness of independent wealth. I am happy. I am fulfilled. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. My ideal spirit, mind, and body. Who knows what the ideal spirit, mind, and body is? Who cares? Sounds good. And let's go for it, you know? And that's what life's all about. And that's what joy is all about. And that's what we're all about. And that's what this is all about. Have a lovely morning. Do beautiful things. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.